Book of Colossians, please. Book of Colossians. It's a quick note. I will be out of town next week. I'll be down in Bowling Green at the Eastside Congregation for a weekend there doing a young people's weekend. So in my place, Heath will be preaching next Sunday morning. They're out of town this week because their oldest got married yesterday. And then Daniel will be preaching next Sunday night. So I look forward to hearing great things about all that they do and appreciate both of their willingness to step up while I'm away. This morning, what I would like to do is continue our discussion about the image of God. If you were with us last week, I kind of left us on a cliffhanger and didn't really tell you the whole story. But let me just catch us up very briefly. If you're visiting with us this morning and you haven't been here the last few weeks, don't worry. We'll still make sense of the book of Colossians together this morning. But very briefly, we have been talking about being made in the image of God. In the very beginning, God said, "Let us make man in our image." What does that mean? That is central to our identity as people, as humans. What does it mean to be made in the image of God? We began by looking at Daniel chapter 7, recognizing that we are not to be beasts, but rather we are to be men. We are not some blind byproduct of evolutionary forces, but we are specially made as people in the sight of God. We then understood that to be made in God's image means to reflect His glory. We are the ones who most specially, out of all of creation, reflect God's glory to this world. While the stars and the seas may declare God's glory, we are the ones through whom God's glory flows to this world. But then last week we understood our image has been broken. Ever since sin entered its nasty head into human history, our image has been broken. It hasn't been shattered. It's been broken like a mug that's chipped but can be repaired. But it's still broken. This morning what I would like to ask is, how has Jesus repaired our broken image? Again, I'm not going to preach last week's sermon, but there's no question that our image has been broken. We live in a world where a lot of horrible things happen, a lot of nastiness occurs. But there's a solution to all of the sin and the wickedness and filthiness of this age. Jesus Christ, He has repaired our image. But how has He done it? That's the question I'd really like for us to pose this morning. We're going to begin by looking at Jesus in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Colossians 1, verse 15. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in everything He may be preeminent. For in Him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Amazing verses, isn't it? This is it's called a doxology. That's a big way of saying is, this is a praise section. What Paul is doing here is just praising Jesus for who He is. And a couple of things are very relevant to our conversation. Do you notice Colossians 1 verse 15? Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Now there's a paradox there. How does something that is invisible have an image? The wind is invisible. I've never seen the wind have a shadow. But our God is invisible. And His image is Jesus. What does it mean for Jesus to be the perfect image of God? Well, there's a couple of things to this I think we have to understand. Number one, Jesus exemplified God's image at birth. He exemplified God's image at birth. And I indeed think this is what Colossians 1:15 means when it says, He is the image of the invisible God. Look at verse 19. For in Jesus, in Him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Jesus indeed is the one who bore God's image perfectly to this world. When Jesus was born as a little baby in Bethlehem, he was the one who bore God's image and took the fullness of deity down to this earth. And there's many other verses of scripture that tell us this. John 1:14, the glory of God has come down. Hebrews 1:3, he is the exact imprint of God's nature. But I do want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 together. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is just a powerful verse that describes the nature of Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The glory of God came in the light of Jesus, and in Jesus, we finally had one who bore God's image perfectly. Perfectly bore God's image. As Adam was meant to do but never did, Jesus bore God's image. But I think there's another aspect to this idea that we really need to consider. I do think, and let me be very clear here. I do think that before his death in his life, Jesus perfectly bore God's image. He exemplified the image of God that was supposed to be there from the beginning. But I think there's another critical aspect to this idea that we need to consider. Look back at Colossians 1 with me. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. What does this phrase mean here? He is the firstborn. Well, this is a very controversial phrase among Bible students, because some think this means that Jesus is not divine, but rather he was a created being. Well, how do you explain that in light of verse 19? In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Well, obviously, Jesus is divine. That goes to the heart of Paul's argument in Colossians. Well, if you look just a few verses later, Paul clearly explains what it means for Jesus to be the firstborn. Look at Colossians 1, and a few verses later, down to verse 18. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning. Oh, the firstborn from the dead. What does this mean? So here's the idea. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. He is the firstborn of the dead. Hopefully that provided some clarity. Maybe not. Let's go back to Psalm 89. Let's go to Psalm 89. Psalm chapter 89. This is a phrase in the Bible that unfortunately is extremely controversial, but this is a phrase that has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not Jesus is divine. It has nothing to do with whether or not Jesus is divine. Unfortunately, this is a passage that is brought to task to explain whether or not Jesus is divine. Yes, he is God. Let me be very, 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 very clear. Jesus is God. But that is not what this verse is talking about. Psalm 89, verse 27. I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Do you notice the phrase here? He will be the firstborn, that is, the highest of the kings of the earth. Within Old Testament times, the firstborn was the one to whom the blessing went to. The firstborn was the one who would carry the lineage down, who would carry the blessings down from the Father. And here, the idea of being firstborn means that he is the highest of all the kings of the earth. Well, keep thinking with me. Go over to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. I argued at our Revelation study, the entirety of the book of Revelation can be understood in Revelation 1, 4 through 8. Look at what it says at Revelation 1, verse 5. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead. Same phrase in Colossians 1, similar idea from Psalm 89. The ruler of kings on earth. Do you notice the similarities between Psalm 89, 27 and Revelation 1, 5? Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. That means he is the preeminent. He is the ruler. He is the one who is king. Here's the idea. Very top of the page I have. Jesus restored the image at resurrection. This is the idea. Jesus did embody God's full deity when he came to this earth and was born in Bethlehem. But there's another critical idea to Jesus being the perfect image of God that I think really is more critical to our conversation. Jesus not only embodied God's glory, he was the one who was God's image, but he has provided restoration of God's image through the resurrection. Okay, continue this thought with me. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If this thought is still a little bit fuzzy, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. And notice all of the phrases here about firstborn, first fruits, first, preeminent. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. If in fact Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What's the idea here? Every single man and woman before Jesus died, fell asleep. Every last one had been made in God's image. From Abraham, to Moses, to Elijah, to Hannah, to Esther, to Ruth, to Solomon. They all had been made in God's image. But what happened to every last one of them? They died. They died. And some came back, were resuscitated for a minute, but then they died again. Jesus is the first fruits of the dead because he has been raised from the dead. Look down later in the text, verse 48. This here, the man of dust, by the way, this is talking about Adam. Verse 48. As was the man of dust, Adam, so also are those who are of the dust and is the man of heaven, Jesus. So also are those who are of heaven. Just as we bear, notice this idea, just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. So let's take all this together. Let's try to take all of these fuzzy thoughts and tie them together. At birth, Jesus embodied God's image. But at his resurrection, he did something far greater. You remember with me last week, what was it that broke God's image in us? It was sin. Sin and death broke God's image. It broke, not shattered, it broke that image. How has Jesus repaired? How has Jesus fixed the image of God within us? By conquering death, by conquering sin. At the cross, Jesus conquered sin, and at his resurrection, he conquered death. What Jesus has done is demonstrated, yes, we who bear God's image will die, but there is hope for those of us who are in Christ that we will raise again. Jesus has demonstrated the image may be broken, but I will fix it. The image may have been broken, but I will fix it. Y'all, what is the difference between this idea of the first resurrection, the first creation of Adam, the man of dust, and now the new creation, the first fruits of resurrection? Adam had the capacity to sin. Adam had the capacity for God's image to be broken. But here is what the second Adam, Jesus, has done. 1 Corinthians 15 and Romans 5 both make this argument. For those in Christ, after the true resurrection at the end of all times, we will eternally bear God's image. Sin will have been conquered. Death will have been vanquished. And when sin and death no longer have the ability to break God's image, those who are in Christ have demonstrated we have conquered death. We have conquered sin by the blood of the Lamb and by the white robe that he has given, Revelation 7. We have conquered sin. And the image of God is restored within us. So understand this. Sin has marred our nature. Because after sin entered human history, we have had a horrible, tragic history of misery and sin and suffering. But Jesus came and demonstrated through his resurrection, I will restore that image and I will even glorify that image and make it better than it was even in the first place. So the idea of the restoration of our image is that the resurrection has provided restoration. Again, the resurrection has provided restoration. This is what it means for Jesus to be the first fruits of creation. Jesus has begun a new creation. A new creation that will not be marred by sin. A new creation that will never die. A new creation that will never fall to the pain and suffering of Adam's creation. That's the new creation that Jesus has begun. The first fruits of creation. And now what Colossians tells us is that Jesus has provided this healing. Again, look back at Colossians 1. Begin again in verse 19. For in Jesus all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. What has Jesus done? Reconciled by his blood. Verse 21. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh and by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. That image that was broken has been repaired. Here's the idea. His blood gives forgiveness. His blood gives forgiveness. Kirby, what was the song you led before the Lord's Supper? Whatever song that was. By Christ redeemed, thank you. By Christ redeemed and Christ restored, thank you. This is the idea of that hymn. By Christ redeemed, by his blood, we are forgiven. In Christ, we are restored. His resurrection gives regeneration. It gives restoration. It gives cleansing. It repairs that broken image within us. That's the power of the resurrection of Jesus. So how are we who have been marred by sin going to once more bear God's image? Through the power of the resurrection of Jesus. Through the power of the resurrection. One blessing of being a part of a Christian community is that you learn from other people. And I always love learning from my brethren. Love learning from you all. Last week I received two texts that remain anonymous. But I received two texts within like 5 minutes of each other asking me if I had ever heard of Kent Sugi. Kent Sugi. No earthly idea what this was. Kent Sugi. Never heard of Kent Sugi before. Had you? Kent Sugi. This is a Japanese idea. I had to Wikipedia it. Here's what Kent Sugi is. Kent Sugi is a Japanese art form where you take a broken piece of pottery and mend it together using gold or silver. Kent Sugi. You take a broken piece of pottery and mend it together using gold or silver. I got goosebumps whenever I read because I knew exactly what they meant by this. Y'all remember last week the coffee cup? You chip the coffee cup and it breaks. What now is that glue that has repaired God's image within us? It's the blood and life of Jesus. Isn't that powerful? And do you understand why the second Adam, Jesus, is better than the first Adam, Adam? Adam was born really to die. Jesus was raised, the first fruits of creation, to live again. Let me ask you, which piece of pottery would you prefer? One that is unmarred and is in perfect shape, or one that has been chipped and broken and has been repaired with gold? Can you imagine when we stand before our God and he takes the blood and the life of his Son and puts us back together? On the day of consummation of all things, there will be those of us who have been saved by the blood and the life of Jesus that God is going to repair by the blood of his Son. and my broken spirit, my tattered image, is now going to contain the precious blood of the Lamb. This is a revelation idea. How did the robes become white? By the blood of the Lamb. Baptism and coming to God in faith is the greatest form of kintsugi that has ever been practiced. Because what God has done is taken those of us who are broken and has brought us back together, not with gold or silver, but by the blood of His Son. Isn't that incredible? By the blood of His Son, He has brought us back together. So I think we have to ask now the question, what's restored? What's restored? Well, the process of restoration is a long process. I think it's going to be an eternal process at that. But look at Colossians 3, verse 1. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. What he's doing in Colossians 3 is talking about the power of the resurrection. And what he proceeds to do is explain, because Jesus was died and resurrected, you likewise need to kill sin and be resurrected to life. Look at Colossians 3, verse 8. But now you must put away, you must put to death anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. What's restored? It's our nature. It's the fruit tree. Our nature, our image, that is what is being restored. Sin mars that spiritual nature. Anger, wrath, malice, impurity, lying, all of these mar our nature. They break our image. They don't shatter it, they break it. But we now, verse 10, have hope of being renewed. And as we are renewed, verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if as one has complaint with another, forgiving one another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Another form of kintsugi is love, a whole other sermon. But brethren, this is what's restored. What Jesus restores is our nature. Our spirit is what's restored. Understand, Jesus did not come to restore the physical body in his resurrection. Yes, that will happen in the future. But what Jesus came to restore was our spiritual man, our image, who we are as creatures of God, those who bear the image of God. That's what Jesus came to restore. And as we put off sin and we put on that new nature, that resurrected nature, that is how we put on God's image. How is this image restored, though? Again, look at verse 10. We have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So let's have a real talk real quick before we go to Colossians 1. This is all a great, ideal, really neat thing, right? Jesus came, he was resurrected from the dead to bring your spirit back to life and to restore your image and to glorify it and to make it even better than it was meant to be by his blood. It's an incredible thought. I truly believe that's the truth of the gospel message, that the blood of Jesus and his resurrection glorifies our image and makes it even better, even after being marred by sin. But practically, I don't know about you. I don't feel like an image bearer a lot. Because when I go through the list in Colossians 3, too often those are things I struggle with. Too often I see my image bearing of God is marred by those things and not characterized enough by that new life in Christ. How is the image actually restored? Yes, as I've explained the last 20 minutes, only through Jesus and only through his resurrection will our image be restored, period. Only through the resurrection will that image be restored. But practically, what do we do? Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. You remember in Colossians 3:10, we are renewed in knowledge. What does 1:9 say? That we may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Y'all, here's the idea. The resurrection not only restored our broken image, but it provides us true knowledge of how that restoration occurs. By putting to death the things of wickedness, and by walking in the way of wisdom. Understand that the process of restoring that broken image is what I would call more frequently sanctification. The process of the restoration of the image is the process of sanctification. And as we grow in knowledge of God, as we increase in wisdom of our Creator, as we increase in learning of the Holy One, that knowledge made manifest in love is what restores us. If your image is not restored, perhaps it's from a lack of wisdom. As Jerry read for us from Proverbs 4, you have to pursue it. You have to seek it. Long for it. But as we are sanctified and bear the fruit of sanctification, then our image is restored. Do you notice verse 10? This was what God's original purpose for man was in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. What God meant for Adam has now been realized through the resurrection of Jesus. Brethren, what image are you bearing? What power does the resurrection have in your life? And are you bearing the holy image of our God? You can be getting your songbooks out at this time. What a perfect song for an invitation song, Kirby. They fit perfect this morning. So as I said last week, the last four lessons on image bearing have really been the foundation. And I want to demonstrate some applications after I get back from Eastside, and we'll deal with that in a few weeks. We'll take a couple weeks off. But brethren, I want to ask you, how central is God's image to who you are? To who you are. One exercise I would sometimes do with my students is ask them to write down, who are you? Who are you? And I would typically get very shallow answers. Well, obviously I'm a student at Purdue. Duh. Some would get a little bit better than that. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I'm a brother, I'm a sister. Great, great, we're getting a bit closer. Others would go a bit better. Well, I am training to be an engineer. I'm an artist. I'm a computer programmer in learning. Great, we're getting a bit closer. Brethren, if I were to ask you, who are you? Who do you see yourself as? Kings and priests, first of all. But I think central to our thinking. I bear God's image. I am a father. I'm a husband. I'm a son. I'm a teacher. I'm a preacher. Many things I am. But more central to who I am than any of that, I bear God's image. And central to who I am and thus how I live is the restoration, the reparation even, of that broken image because of the resurrection of Jesus. Is that central to your life task? To why you live, to why you wake up in the morning, to bear God's image and have it further refined by the resurrection? That's the beautiful life that we have before us. God easily could have said, you're a bunch of broken vessels. Away from me. But our God practiced kintsugi through the blood of his son and has brought us back together. What a loving God we have, as Randy said. And how beautiful of a task we have before us to grow in wisdom, to bear God's image. Understand, though, the very first step of that for the invitation this morning. The very first step, of course, is you have to be raised. If you have never been saved by the saving blood of Jesus in the waters of baptism, that image is broken. Your nature is marred. Sin reigns. Only through the power of the resurrected body of Jesus Christ can sin be defeated and death be vanquished and that image be restored. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, come forward while we stand and sing.